I want to start with talking about the Downtown Chamber series, mm-hmm. Because when Mark Dix came up with this idea, I thought, well, you know, Godspeed, I've heard this before, good luck. And that was, you were telling me, 12, 13 years ago. But how does it work? I mean, this can't be everybody's making a ton of money. This is about sharing experiences and being able to play things you might not always have a chance to play? Or?
Definitely that. I mean, I think to begin with, you were sort of hit on the answer to how this thing works, and that's Mark Dix. I mean, this is his creation and brainchild. And, you know, he has an infectious energy, and he's gathered to him a bunch of community volunteers. He's forged these relationships. You know, he had a vision, and he's made it real. And from the musician side, I mean, yeah, it creates a space and a platform for us to play music that we're drawn to, or in some cases, to make music with players that we want to make music with. So it might be that, you know, so-and-so wants to play with so-and-so, and then what they're going to play is figured out later.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, not much later. But the first part of the conversation might be, hey, man, I want to play with you. Let's do something. And then the second part is, cool, what's that going to be?
So when you'll be playing with Larry Lober as well?
Larry Lober and Christopher McKay.
It features kind of each of you get a chance to shine.
Yeah.
And then the three of you get together for the
Mozart Kegelstadt Trio. And I think in this one, actually, the impetus was that Mark decided he wanted to have a piano on the show. He doesn't often rent pianos, but he did want. So he started with that, saying, hey, Larry, I'm going to rent a piano. Would you be interested in playing? And Larry said, yeah. And then Larry came to me and said, hey, we've talked about doing this Brahms sonata. Let's do that. And then, you know, it went from there. And, hey, I've talked to Chris, and we talked about doing this Kegelstadt. Let's do that. And then, you know, a show comes together.
The three pieces you're involved with mm-hmm. all revolve around a great player one way or another. One of them actually was a player-composer.
Mm-hmm. Louis Cahuzac. He's a legendary clarinetist. In fact, on my wall at home, I have an album cover from an album that I played on that, ironically, my grand uncle had done he was an illustrator, and he happened to do the album jacket for that one. So,
really?
Yeah, someone in my family got it framed for me. And just a couple of days ago, I you know, noticed, hey, that's a Louis Cahuzac album. So in any case, it's a beautiful little, it's the opener of the show. It's just it's a French piece. It's called a Cantilene. It's just a little French clarinet showpiece that Cahuzac wrote. And so I'm doing my best to try to channel him and that sort of light French fluid clarinet sound.
Does this lay well? I mean,
it does lay well.
Yeah.
Considering the number of notes that I have to, considering the notes per square inch, I would say that it lays well. It's got enough notes per square inch that I wouldn't call it easy, but it definitely lays well. I love this piece, and it has a real sort of touch and feel of a clarinetist, I mean, mm-hmm. Or someone who knew the instrument really well.
Brahms, this is a piece that came about because Brahms heard a clarinet player. I think Brahms had pretty much decided, I'm done. I've said everything I want to say.
That's right.
And he hears Mühlfeld play, and he goes, my gosh.
Yeah,
I got to write for this guy.
Yeah, it's, you know, and who knows how much of it is apocryphal or hyperbole, but he supposedly retired in 1891. And then he goes to some music festival, and he hears this clarinetist, Richard Mühlfeld, play, as inspired by this player and the sound that he made on the clarinet, which legend says that some reviewer wrote that Mühlfeld's sound was like biting into a ripe peach. Now, I don't actually like peaches, so I don't know what that would actually be like, but it sounds good. And so, you know, he's a beautiful player, inspired Brahms to, basically come out of retirement. And they struck up a friendship.
Did he work with Mühlfeld in writing?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
He did. There's stories about Mühlfeld going up to Brahms's cabin. I don't know where that was, but, and, you know, spending time there and playing the Mozart quintet for him and the Mozart concerto and the Weber and playing all this clarinet music for him. You know, I mean, these pieces for me, there isn't any better clarinet chamber music. It doesn't get better than this.
The Mozart, this trio,
mm-hmm.
It's a great story.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta tell you, depending on who tells it,
mm-hmm.
it's a really good story, or it's kind of a benign story,
mm-hmm.
or it's what's that mean?
Mm-hmm.
Kegelstadt. We're
mm-hmm.
talking about Skittles, which to most people now is candy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, talk about apocryphal. This
mm-hmm.
is, you know, the guy wrote this playing lawn bowling. I don't
mm-hmm.
think so, right?
I don't know. I mean, you know, those stories about Mozart, right? I mean, they're you hear them when you're coming up, and they're, you know, inspiring. And the movie Amadeus came out when I was in high school or junior high or something. And, you know, there's that scene where he's not playing Kegel's not doing lawn bowling, but he's got the billiard ball, you know, and he's knocking it around the table and writing as it goes. And that piece, right. That connection always sort of stuck with me.
And this is a piece that was written, the pianist was a student of Mozart's, and this was a clarinet player by the name of Stadler.
Yeah. Well,
another kind of legendary guy.
Yeah, and you know, but there's this Brahms and Mozart connection that they had friends who were clarinetists and wrote this great music for him, and you know, all clarinetists are grateful for that. So in Mozart, it was Anton Stadler, who was Mozart's Masonic brother and best friend. I think actually when the story goes that when Mozart dies and his effects are gone through, and it turns out Stadler actually owes him money at the end of his life. But yeah, for Stadler, Mozart wrote this piece and the concerto and the quintet and some of the obbligato parts in the operas.
What I'm hearing, though, is you're playing with a couple of buddies, too.
Yeah,
I mean, these are, you'd be playing in this format with mm-hmm. guys that you see pretty regularly at the Phoenix Symphony.
Yeah, more than pretty regularly. I mean, you know, some weeks more than my family. Yeah, Larry and I have done a lot of playing together. We've explored a lot of music. This will actually be the first time that I'm doing chamber music with Chris. Obviously, I make music with Chris, you know, all week long during the symphony season.
Oh. Well, we look forward to it.
Yeah.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.